Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This week, we'll discover Israel's prophetic future with Dr. Lonnie Shipman. We'll prepare for this week's prophecy conference in Bristol, Virginia, and Donald Perkins will continue his outstanding teaching series, going verse by verse through the book of Revelation. Join Southwest Radio Ministries this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, October 9th through the 11th in Bristol, Virginia. Come and hear from top Bible scholars, teachers, and researchers on the mysteries of the Bible, headlines from the end times, and how to build a spiritual war arsenal. 3 days of scripture-based insights and encouragement. Register today at SWRC.com this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Bristol, Virginia. Come hear Dr. Larry Spargimino, Dr. Greg Patton, Micah Van Hus, Bill Federer, and more. In fact, 9 speakers in 19 sessions over 3 full days. Southwest Radio Ministries invites you to the Prophecy in the News Live Conference, October 9th through the 11th, this Thursday through Saturday at Exit 7 in Bristol, Virginia. Register today by visiting SWRC.com or calling 1-800-652-1144. Make sure you register today, SWRC.com. Now, here's our host, Dr. Larry Spargimino.
Dr. Lonnie Shipman is our guest today. He has come out with a new book, a very important book, and we're going to find out why it's an important book and why did he write the book. The title of the book is Israel in Crisis, Her Future Wars and Final Peace. Dr. Shipman is an author. He's written several books. He's been on our program before. Of course, Heaven's Orchestra is a very important book. I really was blessed by it. Treasure and the Coming Temple of God, Finding the Ark and the Ashes, and then I really love King of Books, the Bible and History and Archaeology. And so Dr. Shipman has been very, very busy. He's a busy man, and he has a lot to say about Bible prophecy. Dr. Lonnie Shipman, so good to have you on the show once again.
Well, it's a great privilege and honor to be with you again.
Well, the title of the book is Israel in Crisis, Her Future Wars and Final Peace. Now, usually you write a book because there's some issue, there's some confusion. What's the issues and what are the issues and what's the confusion and basically why this book?
Well, many people know that Israel has been at war recently, of course, with a Hamas attack, October 7th. But there's also, they know of the persecution and other wars, oppression of Israel through years of this. Some people believe there is no future for Israel, but the Bible is very clear through the Abrahamic covenant that God promised a blessing, but also the land and really the salvation through Israel's line. But also, some people are writing, yes, they believe this will happen, but there's going to be so many wars. One writer believed there was 14 coming wars, including 7 before the rapture. Another writer believed there's 9 coming wars, and another writer agreed with the first one about 14 wars. So I thought, well, this is very, very confusing to people. Yet the Bible doesn't teach that many wars. What are these wars they're talking about? Did they really happen in the past? Are they fulfilled in the future? Or are there something before the rapture? No, the Bible doesn't say there's anything happening before the rapture. We're living in an imminent return of Christ. He can come at any moment. So what are these wars? So that pushed me to look at in depth what are the possibilities and what are the actual wars of the future for Israel in the Bible.
Well, of course, we know that Israel is always fighting. There's always a struggle. And of course, that's part of the scenario. God's people are under attack by Satan and his friends. But let's think about how many wars do you see? I know you don't see 14, 15, or 16, just in general. What are the wars that you see for certain?
I believe there's 4 clear wars in future prophecy for Israel. First, of course, many people know of one, the Armageddon War, or that some people call the battle. We call it the Campaign of Armageddon that happens at the end of the Tribulation. Some people have heard the Russian invasion of Israel that I believe happens right before the Tribulation begins. And then there's 2 wars in the middle of the Tribulation, one at the beginning, the Second Seal, the Judgment, the Rider and the Red Horse, where the Antichrist promises peace, but brings war. And then there's a middle tribulation war, Daniel 11. So I think there's four coming wars for Israel in the future. Russian invasion of Israel with other nations right before the tribulation, second seal judgment war at the beginning of the tribulation, a mid-tribulation war, Daniel 11, and the final war with Israel, which is Armageddon, Revelation 19.
Well, how do these wars fit into the total picture? For example, like, when does really Israel inherit the land? What war precedes that, or maybe follows that?
Well, that's a very good question, because this is part of the confusion. Some people believe Israel has to take all the land for them to become possession of it. A couple of the writers believe they have to take over Lebanon and take over Jordan and Syria, different ones. And they believe they're going to really conquer all of the Middle East to bring about this. But the Bible is very clear. They're given the land at the time of Armageddon. After the battle of Armageddon, the campaign of Armageddon, Israel becomes the kingdom of Messiah King, Jesus reigning on earth, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And Israel becomes the key country, Jerusalem, the key city. And of course, the temple even on the mountain, Mount Zion, the new reigning King of Kings there in Israel. So this all fulfills in the kingdom time, the Armageddon kingdom time, that time period at the end of Armageddon. But some people think they have to do it now. That's not true. That's why there's confusion about some of these things that they think are being fulfilled now and really fulfilled later. Or a few of them are fulfilled in history. Nebuchadnezzar actually did some of the wars they're claiming were future wars.
Well, does all of the confusion that we see now, for example, what happened in October 7, 2023, is that a war, or is that just too insignificant to really peg it with one of the future wars of Israel?
Well, I believe there may be actually even other wars we don't know about necessarily mentioned in the Bible.
Right.
So this October 7th attack is certainly very significant for Israel, and I'm certainly not saying it's not. It's the most significant thing probably in my lifetime of war, even maybe more than the war of 67, the Six-Day War, and that they were attacked so heavily, even more than our time of 9/11 in America. And so it's just a terrible situation for them. Of course, they're continuing on with this, finalizing it gradually. And there could be other attacks and wars, but the main wars in the Bible that point to the end of the world, what are they? That's what I'm dealing with. Dealing with the possible wars people mention with verses where they're fulfilled, like Psalm 83, Jeremiah 49, different ones. And so we deal with Ezekiel 32, these other events. Where did they happen? Or did they happen in the past? Or where do they happen in the future? And then what are the actual wars for sure that we know about? And when do they occur? Then I lay out a complete chronological scenario through the tribulation and Armageddon, as well as the future of millennium.
Right. I know there's a lot of confusion today about Israel, about who owns the land. And of course, we have a biblical view. We look at the Abrahamic covenant and several other passages, and we acknowledge the faithfulness of God. He doesn't make a promise and then break the promise. But if somebody on the street were to ask you, Lonnie Shipman, who owns the land of Israel or Palestine, and why, the answer that you would give, what would you tell them?
Well, first, as you mentioned, we certainly believe in the promise of God being literal and true. Even with the covenants himself, include the word God cannot lie. So God is not lying when he tells them you'll possess the entire land, really even a greater land than they've ever possessed in their past. They've possessed about 30,000 square miles. They're going to possess 300,000 square miles at the end of the time. So it's much larger, this final millennium time. And it will happen. Some people have said Israel's promises will never be fulfilled. But the other thing is God, of course, first promised it to them, cannot lie. Secondly, they were promised they would return to the land in unbelief. They would possess the land. There would be multiple wars. There would be time to possess Jerusalem and even bring up their own dead language, 2,000-year-old dead language. Everyone is speaking Hebrew again in Israel. Even the Arabs sometimes speak Hebrew. So it's amazing. God is fulfilling these promises. So we have the evidence of it as well as the promises of God.
We are visiting with Dr. Lonnie Shipman. He has a new book that he's written, Israel in Crisis, Her Future Wars and Final Peace. Our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. Now, friends, if you want to know more about Israel, what is going to happen to Israel, Israel in time and space and in history, this is really an excellent book. The whole topic of war and Israel is much in the news today. So this is a book that will help you to scripturally understand the situation in Israel. Israel in crisis, or future wars and final peace. 1-800-652-1144. Dr. Shipman, let's continue. You've got a section about possible wars. What are some of the possible wars, like a possible war with Iran, the possible war of Psalm 83? Tell us about those, and also a possible war with Syria. What leads you to think that they are possible?
Well, the Bible mentions some different possibilities with these things, and this is one of the areas that these people who hold the multiple future wars bring up. So I had to deal with each of them technically with the scriptures. Now, Psalm 83 has been seen in the past as a psalm referring to, you might say, a lament of Asaph, or maybe his grandson that might have written this psalm. They're not sure if it's Asaph exactly or his grandson, but it was seen as more of a lament. The psalm of Israel in the future will be attacked by people around her, but yet God would in the end bring about their future peace. And so they wonder, is that actually talking about a literal future war, just a sort of a general lament? So I deal with all these possibilities. And if it is a future war, what happens and when? So that kind of cover that very in depth and really refer back to it again in a couple of other chapters. So there's I cover that with Psalm 83, which is the surrounding nations right around Israel itself.
Yes.
And these, of course, did attack in the past, both in when Israel declared its statehood in 48, and often seen as fulfilled either in the Yom Kippur War or more likely in the 67 War. I see all of those as types of fulfillment, in other words, pictures of fulfillment, but not actual literal fulfillment. I believe they'll literally be fulfilled in Armageddon and show why in the text. Now, the Iran War, Iran is not technically mentioned by the name Iran. It's more of a recent name in the 20s, but they've long been known as the name of Persia. And part of Persia, they overcame an area called Elam. There's a prophecy against Elam. So is this a prophecy against Iran that will happen in future days? We deal with this also, Jeremiah 49, and it's connected to Ezekiel 32. So we show that connection, and when does this happen? I believe that was happened and fulfilled in Nebuchadnezzar's reign, and show why. Then we have also a possible war with Syria, and Syria deals with both the situation of Damascus, city of Damascus, as well as the nation of Syria, which in the Bible was really Assyria. Assyria includes Syria as well as Iraq. And so you have a larger area there. Anyway, we cover this in detail. And when is there a future, or was there in the past a future destruction of Syria? Syria, of course, especially right now, is in the news. It could be taken over completely by Turkey. The president or the dictator, really, of Turkey, Erdogan, wants to take over Syria completely and is making a move to do this. This is dealt with in Isaiah 17, and we cover that in detail, and it's key with the beginnings and ending of that. There's several views. We show three views, and I show why I believe this particular thing also happens in Armageddon, and I show why. But there's other good men who hold other views. We show their views, too, as we do each of these. Each of these men who hold different views all believe in a clear concept of the Bible being literal, Jesus being the Messiah who comes to be the Savior. And so and a clear idea of a rapture, tribulation, Armageddon, a dispensational view, but we vary on smaller details. So we're going through a more detailed explanation of really in-depth things. They're a little hard to understand sometimes. So it takes a lot of study, really, and comparing your scripture.
Yes, it's sometimes difficult, and the fact that there are good men and women, of course, who believe the Bible, who come up with some different views, but it's certainly good to explore the different views. Now, for example, when you speak about the possible war with Iran, I understand from people like Joel Richardson and Hormoz Shariat, who is called the Billy Graham of Iran, that a lot of great things regarding the gospel of Christ, that the church is really growing in Iran. And furthermore, on the political scene, I'm aware of the fact that there are many Iranians who are not even Christian, but they're really unhappy with the Iranian government. For example, the beating up of women who will not wear the full garment of Islam. Do you think what's going on in Iran is that significant, or do you think that the mullahs will completely take over and that there will be a confrontation? I mean, what's the chances of that happening? And I know Iran wants nuclear weapons. And they're not going to use it just to make electricity. They want to destroy Israel. So what's it like in Iran, and what are the couple of ways that Iran might go?
Well, yes, you just alluded to this. Iran might, I personally believe they've been trying for a long time to use other nations and other militant army, militant groups they have more to hire out as their army to attack. They're using Syria's army and their navy and their air force to attack, and then hire their own groups of these Hezbollah, the Hamas, the Houthis, that they're funding to do a lot of their work to fight Israel. And then they're also become a center of trying to build these nuclear weapons, which I believe primarily are to attack Israel, in my opinion. And of course, establish their stronghold. Iran was a close friend of Israel until, especially even through Nixon's time. But then an overthrow came really during the time of Carter. Now it's become a center of terrorism of the world and very, very dangerous place. We don't really know for sure what will happen biblically with Iran until the time of Armageddon. We know what happens about the time of Armageddon. And I believe the prophecy of Elam has applied, especially in history. The Bible says the people of Elam will come back in the millennium to know the Lord and come back to their own land, which means the Iranians, as a nation, will come to know the Lord and come back to their own land, the ones who have not been killed through the fighting of Armageddon or something. So those remaining people will come back. And most Arab countries, and Arab, although Iran is not Arab, most Islamic countries that are fighting, such as Turkey and Iran and others, will come to know the Lord. And all will come and be blessed again, although some will go through some judgments and things, except for three. Southern Jordan, which is called in the Bible Edom, Babylon, and also Saudi Arabia. They'll be completely devastated, even in the time of the millennium, and no one will live there. No one will even go through the land, and only demons will dwell in Babylon, or what is today Iraq, and also in southern Jordan. Although northern and middle Jordan will be inhabited, Petra and these areas will be completely destroyed, and nothing but demons and will dwell there.
Well, I know with the last election of President Donald Trump becoming president, I think that was very significant, and certainly connected with Israel, because he seems to be a friend of Israel. He seems to be a friend of Netanyahu. How do you think all of this will play out? I mean, this was a blessing to me. In fact, we were there in September of 2023 doing filming, and then about a month later, October the 7th, 2023 occurred. And I thought, oh, I'll never go to Israel, but now we're planning to take a tour in Israel, Joshua Davis and I. So what's the effect of this in the big picture that Donald Trump is president? Does this somehow bring America in the picture of prophecy?
Well, I do think that's interesting, especially America is not mentioned in the Bible. In the future days of prophecy, we don't know if she's involved or not.
Yeah.
Because she's not a key leader, I think she's weakened at least by this time. Hmm. Although she may exist, but I don't think she's a key player for some reason. I don't know why. There must be some change. And we've seen, apparently, a weakening through many decades now in America. And we have a reprieve, temporarily, through a better president, a good peaceful situation coming. But it's only a reprieve, I believe.
Yes.
I believe eventually the Antichrist is coming to really decimate the world. Half the world will die in the tribulation. So the world's going to get worse and worse until the Lord comes, and the rapture takes those who are believers to heaven. And then the Antichrist comes to power. Greatest time of devastation of all time will come. Yet I do believe we have a short time. Now, I do think also I was asked even this weekend about taking a tour. Should I lead a tour to Israel? I may eventually do that. But I do think now I can go back. Several of my friends were saying they don't want to go now, like you were saying. But we can go back temporarily. I've been five times.
Mm-hmm.
But we can go back again. But I do think it's a short term. But yet we have to do what we can right now, mainly just get the gospel to people and win them to the Lord until the time comes when we're taken away to the glory.
Well, I think your analysis is very accurate. I'm really concerned about some of the confusion in America, even in evangelical circles, like with replacement theology, with pre-tribulationism. We're pre-tribbers, but there are others who argue against us. I think our view is really the best one, and I think your book is going to be a real contribution to help many people understand what's happening in the world. And we're planning to have you back for another program, and I want to tell our listeners, please be sure to tune in We have been visiting with Dr. Lonnie Shipman. His new book, Israel in Crisis, Her Future Wars and Final Peace. And this is about a 250-page book. It is very detailed, very scriptural, very well done. We just have about 30 seconds or so, but tell us why you think Israel is so important.
Well, Israel was promised these great blessings to be the great nation that bring about Messiah. And also Israel was promised, again, to know God by faith, by grace through faith. Abraham was given this promise. And then all through the Old Testament through the New Testament, this was emphasized. We're still saved by grace through faith. And God has promised a future for Israel with the coming millennial kingdom. He's not turned away from Israel. So we must see Israel's God's timepiece, but also realize doing our part also to help support Israel as a nation, as a country, which we were doing nationally at the moment, but also win people to Christ in the time we have left. Because Jesus is coming soon.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Shipman. We're looking forward to another broadcast, and we'll pick this up. So, friends, be sure to tune in to your Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Church.
Today, Watchman on the Wall is excited to present Dr. Lonnie Shipman's latest book, Israel in Crisis. Israel is God's timepiece for the world. God has a plan for the future, and it's centered with His chosen people. Israel in Crisis gives insight into the promise of a Messiah who would be Savior and King. Israel's future in the tribulation period, her wars and later time of blessing during the glorious kingdom of God on earth. This book will help you understand how the world stage is being set right before your eyes. Israel in Crisis. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. What happens next with Israel? Find out in the new book, Israel in Crisis, by Dr. Lonnie Shipman. 1-800-652-1144. Author and teacher Larry Stamm comes now to share insight into how you and I can share our faith with family and friends without fear.
Shalom, friends. Larry Stamm here. So glad you are joining us as we continue in our teaching series, Serving in His Court, Biblical Principles for Personal Evangelism from the Heart of a Coach. Verse 13, Luke 24, the Word of God says, "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened." They were talking, obviously, about the crucifixion of Jesus. "And it came to pass that while they were communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were not holden that they should not know him. So Jesus appears to them. They don't recognize who he is." And in Luke 24, verse 17, the Word of God says, "And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" As if Jesus didn't know. As if the resurrected Christ, who is omniscient, who knows all things, didn't know what they were talking about. The question is instructive. Verse 18 of Luke 24, we continue. "And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and has not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, What things?" Again, how ironic. The one in Jerusalem who actually knows what's going on is speaking to them, and instead of telling them the way it is, he asks them a leading question. And the leading question is for a purpose. It's for a purpose for Jesus to reveal to them and to convict them of their unbelief, as we'll soon see in a moment. Verse 19 of Luke 24, we continue. "And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, to this day is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. when they had not found his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went into the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. So here, when Jesus asked them, "So what things are you talking of?" Obviously the Lord knew. But what he was doing in a moment was he was asking a leading question for them to share with them, and it revealed their unbelief, which obviously he would have already known, but he was leading them to the truth. And so notice verse 25 of Luke 24. Now Jesus will witness to them. He will reveal himself to them. Check it out. Verse 25. Then he said to them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them." Verse 30 of Luke 24, the word says, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them." Verse 31 of Luke 24, we continue, "And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." In verse 32, "And then they said to one another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And then they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and with them they said, The Lord is risen indeed." So there we see Jesus leading these disciples to the truth. He reveals himself, first asking leading questions and then witnessing to them from the scriptures. It's a beautiful story, very instructive. I hope it's been helpful to you. And until next time, friends, the Lord richly bless you and keep you. Shalom.
Will there ever be a time of real, lasting peace for Israel? Find out in the new book, Israel in Crisis by Dr. Lonnie Shipman. Israel's future wars and final peace are revealed inside the pages of this important book. Israel in Crisis. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website. Simply visit swrc.com. Israel in Crisis by Lonnie Shipman. We have more insight into Israel's future from Lonnie Shipman coming up on tomorrow's program. So be sure to tune in by downloading our free SWRC mobile app. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends like you. To learn more, visit our website, swrc.com.